We are back. Episode 42 of the Reporter's Corner. I'm one half of your co-host, Jared Rubato, with the Bemidji Pioneer. With me is the better half of the co-host, Trent Singer from Sioux Falls Live. Trent, how are we doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing good. December's coming and arriving here now. I know the Beavs have 1 weekend left. Augie about to get into a four-week stint at home. And really, this conference is starting to shape up top and bottom. You know, you've got your five, six teams at the top, and then you've got three that are just trying to avoid being at the bottom. And it's been a very interesting first half of the season, and with a few surprises and a few kind of things that we expected, I think, to this point.
Yeah, and it's been far too long since we've had a member of the Bemidji State Beavers on the show. And so today we brought on Connor McLennan, a senior forward who has a pretty interesting backstory, all things considered. Trent, what did we get into with Connor McLennan about today?
Well, he's off to a hot start this season. I mean, 6 goals and an assist in November. You know, the Beavs are in second place, and a lot of it has to do with these newcomers that have stepped into roles. You look at guys like Hudson Thornton, Oliver Peer, and Connor McLennan's just right there among them. You know, this team hasn't lost a game in regulation in conference play yet. So we talked a little bit about that hot start, and then, of course, we got into his – you know, early part of his career. He grew up in rural Alberta, Wainwright, Alberta, a town of what he said was about 6,000 people. He started playing hockey at a pretty young age. And then we talked a little bit about his prep career. He played at a interesting prep school in Kelowna with a lot of very good players that have gone on to play professional hockey and college hockey and have gone on to those ranks and whatnot. So, you know, then he makes his way to the WHL with the Kootenay Ice, and talked a little bit about that. Played for the World Under U-17 Challenge. Got to play with some guys, some lifelong friends. Jake Neighbors, a guy he grew up with, and then of course got to play against a lot of great guys too, including guys like Yaroslav Askarov and Brock Faber. And then, you know, he makes his way. Connor McLennan is, in some ways, Jared, a controversial figure in this year of college hockey. I would say he certainly is. He went to play the pro ranks, signed an AHL contract, played for the Chicago Wolves, and honestly, you know, it was really interesting talking with him. Didn't expect that he would get the chance to play college hockey, but of course, with the new rule changes, there are avenues that have opened the door for guys, and it's just about, you know, coaches trying it, seeing if it'll work, and it did in Connor McLennan's case. So went and played a year of U Sports, and then made his way to Bemidji State, where he's now playing and obviously having an immediate impact with the Beavers this season. And so we talked a little bit about the path, you know, from getting from the WHL to the AHL to U Sports, you know, and then to college hockey, to the NCAA, and what all that entailed. And of course, we closed it out with our one timers, just some fun questions and stuff. So a very good chat. We've really nailed every interview, I feel like, so far this season. Everybody's been great. Connor McLennan's no difference. I think a lot of CCHA fans really enjoy this. A lot of college hockey fans would really enjoy this one. It's a good chat that we had today with Connor McLennan.
Yeah, no, and he gave some really good insight onto that process of gaining NCAA eligibility. Without diving too much into the specifics, I know it gets a little hairy on the specifics. If you were looking for the exact documents the NCAA eligibility portal requires, looking at you, Tim Braun, you're not going to get those out of these kids. I've tried a couple of times. So it's a very stringent process, though. And he talked about that process quite a bit and what it took to get NCAA eligibility. So, but let's kick it over to our interview with Connor McLennan. All right, it's time for another Reporter's Corner interview, and it's been far too long before we've gone back to the Beavs, Trent. We've taken opponents of the Beavs like 4 straight weeks on this show, and it's finally time that we go to one of the hottest forwards in the league right now, and that's Connor McLennan. Connor, thanks so much for joining the show. Obviously, you're red hot in November, 6 goals and an assist. What's going right now, and what's going right not just with you, but with the Beavs themselves?
Yeah, I think we're playing with a lot of confidence. I think the group's in a good spot. I think the biggest thing for us is we're playing in both ends of the rink. We're not giving up a whole bunch defensively either. I think obviously good defense leads to good offense, but I think kind of Tom's message starting to get through. I think we've kind of strung a lot of good weekends here together. I think although we didn't get any points necessarily versus Nodak, I mean, we got the tie, but I think we played two pretty solid games, especially Saturday. But I think we're definitely trending in the right direction.
You mentioned it, putting together consistent weekends, and that's been the key, I think, for Bemidji State to put together really its first half resume that it has. You guys haven't lost a game in regulation in conference play yet. What's gone into, just this impressive start for the Beavers as a whole, really against league teams?
Yeah, I think we had a little bit of a shaky start. I know it was out of conference, but I think maybe going through some growing pains early in the season, not necessarily maybe a bad thing. Kind of clean up our defensive play, and I think that's, like I said, that's what's kind of led to so much success for us. Obviously, Tom Wintz and the coaching staff do a great job prepping us week in and week out, and I think we're just trying to kind of build each weekend for the next one. And obviously, you know how important every point is in college hockey. I think we've kind of left some out there, I guess, necessarily with how many overtime and shootout games we've gone to, but I think just points in general, every weekend are so critical.
You talk about it, right? I mean, like you take one weekend away from conference play and you bump from first to second place. And that's not a shot at anything of what you guys have done. It's more of like, look at how tight this league is. And in one weekend, everything can change. And, how important is it to, start, like you said, shoring up, not leaving points on the table, especially with one more weekend left in league play before you go on a long break?
Yeah, definitely. I think if we can do a good job this weekend and get some points, I think if you look at our first half, you'd definitely consider it a huge success. Obviously, we know how good Augie is, and kind of the rivalry that's been built between these two teams. So yeah, it's gonna be a fun weekend. My first time going out there, so definitely excited, and going to the break, feeling good about ourselves.
Let's get into your background a little bit though. We're gonna start. You're a Wainwright, Alberta native, is that correct?
Yeah, you bet. You're born and raised.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Let's just when did you figure out hockey was a sport for you? Obviously, it's got to start at some point, but how young were you when you figured out that this was a sport that you wanted to play for a long time?
Wainwright's, I think population 6,000, small town.
Hell yeah.
I've been on the rink since I was 3, 4 years old, I think. I still remember grandpa tying my skates when I was, I don't know, 5, 6 years old, when I was maybe using even a straight stick still. But when I first kind of figured out that it's what I wanted to do, I mean, the brick tournament was something I was fortunate to play in. I think I was 10, and that's kind of your first exposure, I guess, as a kid, to play against, I guess, the best at that age. I know I was super young, and obviously, there were some really good players. I remember Perfetti was in there, and some guys who've definitely went on to play. But that's kind of when I got my first exposure of, I guess, getting my name out. And then when I played PBAA in Wainwright, and then that was my first year, or last year, sorry, playing there. And then I actually moved to Kelowna for 2 years, play my Bantam draft year, I guess. And then I think that PBAA season was a big year for me. I had a really good year, and then my dad kind of gave me the option if I wanted to stay and drive an hour every day to go to Lloyd to practice, and he gave me the option and supported me. My whole family did, obviously, but to go to Kelowna to play at the prep school, and looking back at it, it was probably the best decision I ever made. Some of my best friends still there. Or not still there, still some of my best friends that I talked to are from when I was in Kelowna. My billet dad, who was there with me, actually just came to North Dakota and watched a game with my dad. So super close with all the people who helped me kind of get through that. But that was kind of the biggest thing, I guess, was doing that move.
Yeah, we got to ask about that because you spent 3 years at Pursuit of Excellence Prep, which is in Kelowna. Your second U15 season was just, it was pretty ridiculous. I mean, 55 goals, 60 assists, 35 games. These are fun numbers to look at from a U15 perspective, right? You led the league in points and you were named the CSSHL MVP. What do you remember the most from that season and how formative that was?
And did they let you guys play 5-on-4? What the hell, man? Look at these point totals.
Yeah, I think if you look at our team that year, I think there's four or five guys who have NHL games. Like,
Oh, wow.
we had a crazy good team. Like, I lived with Jake Neighbors. He's still one of my best
Okay.
friends. I think my line mates were me, Neighbors, and Kyle Kronkovic for most of the year. Kyle was playing the Western League. I think he had like 290 points in
Yeah.
the Western League, like put up some crazy good numbers. And obviously, you guys know Neighbors, like really good player. Jack Finley was on that team, who's in the
Wow.
NHL. Ben King, who's probably one of my best friends still, he's been in the American League and in the East Coast, but drafted in the NHL. Like for a Bantam team, the team was
No doubt.
kind of crazy. I think we had five guys go in the first round of the Dub Draft, which
Oh my
is like
God.
unheard of. Like we had a lot of fun, really close group. But what I kind of remember most was just like we were obviously really good on the rink, but we were such good friends off the ice. Like we were hanging out, always laughing. Like I have so many friends from that team, and I think that was kind of my fondest memory of it, I guess.
Could you imagine being a parent of a kid on another team being like, all right, we got to just go suit up, take our look at these kids. I mean, they got a kid shooting 85 miles an hour at like 13 years old out here. Like, it's just ridiculous when you say the names that come down. But obviously then you go to the Dub right after, right? Your 16-year-old season, you scored 14 goals, 15 assists, and it was your rookie season with the Ice. Just talk to me about what that jump was like going to the Dub and obviously playing a bigger step up in competition.
Yeah, it was obviously a big adjustment. I definitely struggled early on, and then right around Christmas time, I actually got a high ankle sprain.
Oof.
So that's kind of why I missed some games there that year. But I'm not saying injuries are great, but it was almost a blessing for me to kind of get stronger in my upper body, kind of strengthen myself. And then when I came back from the injury, I actually finished the year pretty strong. I don't. No idea what the numbers would look like, my splits or anything, but we didn't have a very good team. We were super young, but I think if you look at who we had on that team, a lot of guys were still on that team when we were lost in the conference finals, lost in the WHL finals. Like we kind of started that year was kind of the start of what we built up before we relocated to Winnipeg. But James Patrick, probably the best coach I've ever had, was so good for me and the guys we had. Like super super supportive, pushed us when we were young, and then when we were old, kind of gave us the rein to kind of have that freeness offensively. And I owe him a lot of credit for getting me to where I am now.
Well, that first season in Kootenay, you played in the World U17 Challenge for Canada too. Some of the names on that team are pretty remarkable too. Cole Perfetti, Jake Neighbors, Owen Power, Maverick Bourque. You played against guys like Lucas Raymond, Seth Jarvis, Quentin Byfield, Brock Faber, Yaroslav Askarov, and Jesper Wallstedt. What do you take from that experience? I mean, just like getting to play against all those guys and getting to play alongside some of those guys.
Yeah, it was super cool. I mean, me and Jake were roommates in Kelowna when we were 14, and to go through that experience with him, we were I can't remember if we were roommates at the tournament, but we were obviously really close at the tournament. It was super cool to go through that. Our dads are still friends to this day. So, yeah, that experience was awesome. It was in Nova Scotia. We lost in the quarterfinals, kind of a heartbreaker game versus the Finns, but yeah, super cool experience. Was just kind of super fortunate to be there for sure.
Well, and you led the tournament in points. You had 8 goals, 3 assists in 5 games. Did that give you some sort of confidence as you kind of went back, to the WHL, when it was finished?
Yeah, definitely. I think you look at the obviously the caliber of players that were at the tournament to be able to put up good numbers. Obviously you definitely play with some confidence when you're done, but unfortunately I think it was like three or four games after that is when I got my high ankle sprain, so that was kind of a bummer. But yeah, it was obviously you come out of that tournament definitely with some confidence.
The Ice moved to Winnipeg, I believe it was in your second season, and then you kind of became that point per game player. A couple months after the season ends, you get drafted by the Flyers. I got to ask, what did you do? You have a draft story. Where were you when you got drafted?
Yeah, it was actually kind of crazy. I was the COVID draft year, I guess. Mm-hmm. It was actually a crazy story. I was farming all day with my dad. We were in the middle of haying, and I was actually driving the truck, hauling some green feed, and Mark Gregg, who I played with, Ridley Gregg, and Mark was the head scout for the Flyers at the time, and me and Ridley were close, and Mark actually gave my dad a call, and then I was obviously listening to the draft, and as my dad got called is when I saw it pop up on the board, so that was kind of my experience. I put the truck in park and had to take a couple phone calls, and then it was right back to work. So it was definitely a cool day. And then once we got done, we had a nice little get together with friends and family after that. But dad wasn't letting me off the hook until the work was done. So
I gotta ask, is farming a big part of your family?
Yeah, we actually grew up. My dad and uncle live probably a mile apart, and between the two of them, they owned 400 head of elk. Growing up, I was on the farm always, whether it's going out to feed critters with dad, opening the gate or whatever. So yeah, it's just kind of normal to me, being around animals and living on the farm. So it's kind of cool though, going home, getting away from the rink. You don't really think about it. You just go out and enjoy being out there. So, yeah, it is definitely a big part for me.
You know, Tom loves his Western Canadian farm kids too. Like, you fit the beaver mold, like, before you even got to campus. So.
Yeah, no, definitely fortunate that it worked out. So.
Good.
Well, you had your breakout season in the WHL in 2021-22 season. 102 points, 77 games. You guys made the WHL playoffs for the first time in your career. What do you feel like led to that breakout season for you?
I think obviously fortunate to play with good players. I played with Matt Savoy and Owen Peterson for most of the season. And then when Jack Finley actually got traded back to us, obviously me and Finner playing together at Kelowna. I played with him and Owen Peterson the rest of the year, and we kind of clicked right away. But I think just the biggest thing for me was I think I got a little bit stronger that season. Like, going after the bubble, I went to Philly and was with the American League team for a couple months, although we were in COVID season, no fans or anything, but I was able to practice with the team, kind of in the cohort or whatever you want to call it, living in the hotel. So I kind of saw what it took to be a pro, and I think that's definitely what helped me that year, was getting in the gym, getting a little stronger. But obviously owe a lot of credit to the team we had. We had a super solid team. I think we started the year, I don't know if it was 21-2 or something, like it was something pretty crazy. But yeah, it was definitely it was a fun season for sure.
Your last year in the dub was probably your best as an individual, but you talked about it at the team, right? Your first year, you guys weren't very good, kind of fighting in young roster, new guys. You go all fast forward all the way to your last year, you make the WHL finals, play against Seattle. Just talk to me about what it was like to be a part of that journey, go through all those years to end up and bringing the ice to that game and have, you know, with that core group too. Just what was special about that?
Yeah, going through it with, I think, the 320s, myself, Owen Peterson, Ben Zlotty, some of my best friends to this day, seeing kind of how brutal it was at 16. I think we won 12 games, and 12 games out of 68, you do the win percentage on that.
It's not good.
Makes for a long year. Yeah. So, going through those growing pains with those guys, and then getting the chance to play in the WHL finals, obviously coming up a little short against obviously a really good Seattle team. If you look at their squad, they got to have 9-10 guys in the NHL or playing pro at least. So, we had a really good team and a super good group. I was fortunate to play with Matt Savoy and Zach Benson most of the year, and obviously you guys know how good those guys are. So, it sucks that we couldn't get her done, but it was cool to go through all that with those guys.
And after that season, of course, you signed your AHL contract with the Chicago Wolves. I'm curious to know, how big of a jump is that to go from the Western Hockey League to the AHL?
Yeah, it's kind of same thing going from midget to the Western League and then Western League to pro. Like, it's just everyone's a man. You playing against guys who are 30. My funniest story was I get to the room in Chicago my first day there. I'm sitting beside Chris Terry, who's got three kids. He's got 800 pro games. And then on my other side, I got Matt Donovan. He's got four kids and he's 36, I think. So the guys were great in Chicago, but that was kind of my welcome to pro hockey. Was I'm trying to figure out how to do my laundry, and these guys are three kids. So it was definitely a little bit of a change for me, but I really enjoyed it. The guys were great.
Yeah, I mean, you played 9 games, and then you kind of did what, you know, Hudson Thornton was going to do, a similar route. And it's like, you know what? I need to develop more. I need to go back. And you went to U of Alberta. You played, 2.5 years with Alberta, something like that. But just talk to me about what went into that decision for you and why it was the right move for you at the time.
Yeah, obviously, super hard decision because I had a 2-year deal with Chicago and was kind of just stuck in a hard place. Team wasn't doing great. I wasn't really playing, and kind of talked to a lot of people around me, family, coaches, old coaches, agent, whatever, and kind of just made the decision that was going to go to school to kind of get a backup plan and kind of grow my game a little bit more. And U of A was great. Stan Marple and Ian Herbers were super good to me and welcomed me with open arms. Obviously, didn't play a whole bunch that first half, and they gave me some good opportunity to kind of come in the second half and help the team. And next year had a really solid year. I guess it would have been last year now, which is kind of crazy already. Yeah. But last year had a really good year. Kind of went through a little bit of an injury bug there in the middle of the year, but had a really good playoffs, and I guess here I am now. But
yeah, like you said, last year was your only full year with Alberta. 28 points in 28 games. You guys went out in the playoffs in the second round, but earlier that year, the NCAA amended its rule on eligibility for CHL players. I guess first of all, what was your reaction to that news, and did you ever think that you'd be able to play NCAA hockey after playing in the Dub?
I didn't even think it affected me. I didn't even look at it twice because I played pro. I made money, so I honestly didn't even bat an eye. I was like, well, I'm kind of going back to U of A no matter what. It wasn't an option for me. And then it wasn't until kind of, I guess, my season was over. It would have been kind of April, May. Kind of had some teams reaching out, like seeing where I stood. And my answer was, I don't think I can. Like, I've played pro, and then I guess the whole thing kind of started brewing up a little bit, I guess, is when I guess Bemidji reached out and said they thought there was a chance. I had to do a ton of paperwork, and I owe Wince a lot of credit. He did a ton of work for me to get here, and it seemed like I knew Wince really well before I even got here. We were on the phone every other day, it seemed like, whether it was new paperwork or new documents, or I had to hand in all my tax returns. Like, I had to do a bunch of stuff just to be able to get to this point and be here. But I definitely owe Wince and Tom a lot of credit for doing what they did to give me this opportunity, because I never thought I would get it.
Yeah, and I kind of did the same whole thing with Hudson Thornton about a month ago, but When you were going through this process, did part of you think like, had is this worth it? Like, are they even going to let me play? Like, sure, I guess I'll send in all the documents they need, but it's not going to matter. There's no way. I played pro hockey. Like you said, I made the money. They're not going to let me play. How much doubt kind of came in your mind there?
Yeah, like I wasn't really holding out hope, to be honest. I remember when Tom first called, he thought there was a good chance that they could make it work. And I want to say it was probably start or mid-July. Tom called me kind of out of the blue saying he doesn't think it's going to work. They're going to kind of try one more thing. I don't know what that looked like, the whole process of that. But he said don't really hold out hope. So I was kind of preparing like I was going back to U of A and almost kind of thanked him for what he did. Like, wasn't real, like,
Brian.
didn't think it was going to happen. And then I want to say it was early in August. I was actually just getting off the ice, and Tom called me and asked if I'd like to be a Beaver. And I was kind of in shock because I didn't really think it was an option. Like, wasn't really prepared for it. And then I just said, I better go make sure it's checks out, and that's what I want to do, and talk to my friends and family. And he said, well, you let me know. And I called him back, I think it was an hour and a half later, and I said, yeah, I want to be a Beaver. So yeah, it was kind of a crazy how it all unfolded. I went from not thinking I had a chance to kind of Tom called me out of the blue and asked me if I wanted to be a Beaver again. So just super fortunate.
I want to ask you this too, because you had about, like, I'd say roughly a month when you found out you could play to when the roster was finalized. And when the roster was finalized is when, things got a little crazy on the internet, to say the least, right? I mean, it's no stretch of the imagination to say that for like 12 to 24 hours, Bemidji State was at the center of the hockey world because they were the first school to have former pros come back and play college hockey, not on ATO deals. And, when I asked Thornton about it, he's like, luckily I'm not on Twitter. I didn't see much of it. Saw some Instagram comments, but like, hey, out of sight, out of mind, whatever we got in the room is best. For you, how did you handle that? I mean, with you thousands and thousands of people talking about you and your hockey decision, it's probably a little uncomfortable, I'd imagine. But how did you handle those first initial days after the roster was finalized?
Honestly, I kind of just got some chuckles about it, just kind of seeing how people kind of reacted with it all. You see some people are pumped that NCAA is making some changes, and then you see people freaking out that
Not like that. Not like that.
guys have made money now playing college hockey. But I had a ton of buddies sending me the spin chiclets when Grinnelli was tweeting about it, and it was actually when we were on the ice that it got announced. So I went to go in the dry cell, I just checked my phone after practice or whatever, and my phone had a bunch of notifications. I'm like, what the heck's going on? And sure enough, it was when the rosters finally got announced. And between buddies and old teammates and guys who were playing pro and old coaches saying, how'd you make this work? And my answer every time is, I really don't know how I got here, but I'm here. So that was kind of the best I could do, but
I will say, I want to say something. When your notifications go off on something like that, you had no clue something's happening. It's never a good thing, Connor, and I can always assure you, it's happened to Jared and I both. And when those notifications go off, it is never something that you want to see what everybody's saying. That's 100% the truth, dude.
Exactly. Yeah. No, isn't that the truth for sure?
But I will kind of kick it back to one thing too, and that's, you said this after you had that 4-goal game too, where it's like, man, I'm just so thankful that I got this opportunity, right? Whether it's through the NCAA, Bemidji State, whatever. We just went through a long, winding hockey career to get to college hockey, and you just talked about how thankful you were for it. And now that you're kind of halfway through it, maybe a little less than halfway, but you're halfway through your only season here at Bemidji State. And how has it been? Is it kind of lived up to the expectations? And how have the guys been in just kind of welcoming this new era of college hockey? Because you have guys that came in from seven different leagues on this new team. I mean, that is insane.
Yeah, no, all the guys have been awesome since the first day I got here, middle August. The guys have been great, the leadership group to the young guys, and obviously I went no stretch of the imagination that I definitely struggled kind of early in the year, finding my game and going through some growing pains as you do with any new team. But I think the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 weekends starting to kind of find my swagger, find my game a little bit. Obviously, I'm a guy who loves to score goals and very passionate about that. But when they're not going in, it's definitely tough. But I owe a lot of credit to Tom and Wince for sticking with me when I was going through that. And now finally they're starting to go in the back of the net.
Yeah, I would imagine too, right? I mean, this is probably a different style of hockey than you've ever played. You know, it's maybe a little bit similar to the Dub in some areas. It's a little bit similar to U Sports in other areas. But what was the biggest adjustment for you in coming to college hockey and playing this style of hockey maybe that you haven't played before?
Yeah, I think just how good every team is. You're never going to have a night off, whether it's in conference, out of conference. Every point, every minute, every game, so critical, for what you're playing for at the end of the year. I think that's kind of the biggest adjustment for me was, I mean, obviously I play the same schedule at U Sports, Friday, Saturday nights. But just how crucial every point is, in the CCHA or even out of conference. Mm-hmm. That's definitely the biggest adjustment that I've noticed.
Well, we want to get into what we call one-timers. We close out the show usually with these. We've got about 6 questions here. Basically, we'll ask you something, and you can go as little or as much into it as you want. We have to alter our first question here because you really haven't played throughout this whole conference yet. You know, you're still kind of new to this whole college hockey scene. So we'll ask you it this way. Where's the toughest place that you've played you know, throughout hockey? I mean, you know, your WHL days, whether it was, you know, international or, you know, where is the toughest place or maybe the funnest place? You know, a lot of times that can be sort of, those can go hand in hand, right?
I was actually joking about this the other day, with Hilty, Max Hildebrand, who played in PA. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have ever seen PA's rink. It's basically nuts. A shoebox.
Yes.
But it gets super loud, and we played them 2 years in a row in the playoffs. And that building gets super crazy, super loud. So I'd say that one, and then the one in college hockey so far would probably be Tech. With the band, yeah. and with all that. So I'd probably say those two for now anyway.
Yeah, yeah. We get Tech a lot.
Of course it was Tech. Of course. Of course. So is there a pro player that you've always kind of admired the most? Maybe even someone you tried to model your game after as a, you know, growing up?
Yeah, I'd probably say Alex DeBrincat, obviously. Ooh. No lie that I'm not the tallest guy on the block, even though I'm not the smallest on this team. I think I was on the smallest line in college hockey history to start the year with me, Bells, and yeah. I was maybe the tallest guy on the line, and I don't think that's happened since maybe Pee Wee. But Alex DeBrincat's kind of someone I've always watched. Obviously a smaller guy who shoots the puck really well, thinks the game well. So I'd probably say him.
If we could ever get like a power play unit with Namestnikov, Panzer, LaBelle, and maybe, I don't know, Corcoran, right? Like there's,
yeah.
We'll call it like the under 6 foot club. And then maybe
like the joke. Yeah. I've been kind of with Namestnikov and Funker lately, and Funk's probably the biggest guy on the team. And then me and Nemo kind of we call ourselves the Twin Towers, and then Funk's the oddball.
So growing up, were you an Oilers fan or Flames?
Yeah, diehard Oilers fan. Been to the last couple playoff runs.
Nice.
Definitely caught some games. So, was tough, two Oilers heartbreaks, and then I'm a big Blue Jays fan too.
Oh my God.
And I'm a Bills fan, so it's been some heartbreak the last couple of years. Definitely in pro sports for me.
Oh man.
Hey, the Oilers, it's any time now. I mean, I keep saying that every year, but any day now, it's going to happen, okay? It's just got to hang on.
Yeah, any day except for last night.
it's been a bit of a struggle bus here. They're not notorious fast starters, but this is definitely a little past the start here now, so hopefully they start turning the corner here soon.
We'll see. What is how about this one? You play with a lot of very talented players. Is there one that stands out as the most talented player that you've ever gotten the opportunity to share the ice with?
That's a tough question. I've played with so many good players. I'd probably have to say Zach Benson. Obviously a smaller guy too, but super gifted. If you ever get on the ice or ever watch him, I guess, play, see how many pucks he bats down. His stick is absolutely incredible. How many plays he disrupts. But someone who's kind of underrated is Connor Geeky. He's a little bit lengthy and gangly. He's a bit of a dork, as I'd like to say. But he has some of the best hands, and he'll pull off the craziest moves absolutely out of nowhere. So I'd probably say those two.
Yeah, you actually just answered our next question, because we were going to ask who the most underrated player that you've ever played with is as well. But here's another one.
I was going to say, why is it Riley Funk?
I'd say Funk and Geeks are very similar in that sense, both Manitoba boys too. So
I'll ask you this: when you watch Riley Funk play, are you just sitting here being like, how can this a kid this big move like he does and possess the puck like he does and still skate like he does for being his size?
Yeah, it's super impressive. I see it in practice all the time. It's impossible to get the puck off that guy's stick. I'm happy I play on his line, because if we ever had to go against each other, I would definitely be in tough. So
yeah, well, you'd take a forearm to the neck.
He's a really good player.
He does the thing where he like forearms guys off of him. He's like a fullback.
Yeah, it's like he's a fullback, exactly. Yeah. Stiff arming guys, and yeah, it's crazy.
He's bringing the position back to hockey.
Exactly.
So you've gotten the opportunity, obviously, throughout these ranks too, and we all know college hockey and really hockey in general, when you talk about being in this region, is kind of a small world in a lot of ways, right? Everybody kind of knows each other. But this is always a fun one, and we get some good answers out of this. How about this? Who is the most famous person in your cell phone?
That's loaded.
Jeez. Most famous person in my phone.
And we're not going to make you call him.
probably Danny Briere. When I was with the Flyers.
That's a really good one.
At the time, he was kind of more on the player development side. He wasn't actually the one who drafted me. But he got to come watch some games, and we'd go for dinner after, and, obviously, he was a smaller guy too, so he had some really good stories and tips and tricks to kind of help me out. Definitely probably him for most famous person on my phone. Took me a minute to think about
that. No, you're good. You're good.
Last one we got, and it's a two-parter, but it's the golf question. And I know you're a big golfer, but who is the best golfer on Bemidji State, and who is the biggest sandbagger on Bemidji State?
Me and Trent are probably top two when it goes to golf matches. We got a tie and he beat me once in our two matches so far. The biggest sandbagger would definitely be Flammer, and it's not very close. he played Casper in a match, and me and Casper were on a team, and I was playing Trent and Casper was playing Flammer. And I think Flammer won after 9 and Casper was like 2 over. Like, it was absolutely embarrassing. So I'm going on Flammer's team whenever we play from now on. That's all I can say about that.
I'm surprised that you didn't say Casper was the best thing, because he had who was it? I think a couple kids last year said unequivocally, it's Casper. He's the best. And he had his first hole in one last year.
Yeah, I heard about his hole in one. That was from what I heard, it was cool because he had teammates playing in front of him too. Got to
Yeah.
run back, and I think there's like eight of them on the tee box or something on the next hole. So, yeah, he's a good player. I think me and Trent would pro I think Trent's probably a little better than me, but
Really?
we have some good matches.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. So, all right, Connor, that's all we got for you. Thank you so much for joining the show. This was great. Best of luck against
Appreciate
Augustana
it,
this
man.
weekend. Go finish out the first half strong.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Appreciate
You
it.
bet, man.
All right, once again, thank you to Connor McLennan for joining the show, and thank you to our producer, Perry Lascaris. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts from, and subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at Trent Singer and at Jared Rebato BP. You can check out our work at BemidjiPioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com.